Yeah, I guess pizza is a big, big draw. We talk Shalom's brother. That's actually what we're going to be talking about a little bit. So again, we are really towards the very, very end of Tanya. I think maybe just one or two more sessions, and then we will make a siyum. We'll finish it. The emes is a sefer like Tanya. One can learn indeed Me'a V'yachad Pa'amim. One of the rebbes of Chabad, the Rebbe Rashab, Rav Shalom Ber, who was the father of the Friedeker Rebbe, right? So Rav Nachum Mendel, the last Rebbe, was the son-in-law of Rav Yosef Yitzchak, and Rav Yosef Yitzchak's father was the Rebbe Rashab, he's called Rav Shalom Ber. So he once remarked about himself that we understand as much of the Tanya as a goat looking at the moon. That was the mashal. I don't know why he came up with that mashal, but that was the mashal that he said. What does a goat see when I'm looking at the moon? That's what I mean. By the way, the Rebbe Rashab, just as a little aside, the Rebbe Rashab, number one, was considered, they call him the Meir Nevuchim of Chassidus, because he was a very, very philosophical person, and his mamorim are the most complicated and intricate. And number two, the Rebbe, I'll tell you three things about the Rebbe Rashab. Oh, I'll tell you four things. Maybe the fourth thing might be a little suffic. First thing was, as they say, he was the Meir Nevuchim of Chassidus. The second thing was, he was the founder of the first Chassidish yeshiva, Tomchei Tamimim. Chassidim didn't have yeshivas, really, throughout the 19th century. He founded the first, not only Chabad yeshiva, but the first Chassidish yeshiva in Poland. And that's called yeshivas Tomchei Tamimim. The third thing that's most surprising is who he wanted to be as Rosh Yeshiva of Tomchei Tamimim. He actually wanted Rav Chaim Soloveitchik to be. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is not a Lubavitcher, rest assured. He was a misnaged of a misnaged. But the Rebbe Rashab wanted the biggest gadol and the greatest amken in learning to be Rosh Yeshiva. At the time, this was towards the end of Rav Chaim's life, he was the Rav of Brisk. He had been, in his youth, the second Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin under the Netziv. And then when Volozhin closed, he took out the Rabbanus of his father, the Beis Halevi. But Rav Chaim really didn't like Rabbanus. I mean, the truth is that people who knew him in Volozhin and knew him in Brisk said it was like day and night. In Volozhin, he was like besimcha all the time. And in Brisk, he was, you know, very, you know, the weight of the Kehila was very much upon him. He was a very excellent Rav, a very tremendous Rav. But it was a great burden for him. So when he had the chance, in his old age, actually he didn't, he never was that old, but at least in his 60s, to become Rosh Hashiva, he was going to jump. He jumped at it. He was going to leave Brisk and become Rosh Hashiva of Tomchei Tamimim. What happened was the Chassidim of the Rashab convinced him to withdraw the offer. Because they timed, you know, in Chassidus, the Rebbe has to be the head person. And just like Chazal say about the sun and the moon, that Hashem had to diminish the moon, because Ein Shnei Malachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad, you can't have two kings with one crown. They felt to have Rav Chaim within a Chabad yeshiva essentially would have created an alternative authority to the Rebbe. Now the Rebbe Rashab was not into gaiva or position, so he didn't care. But the Chassidim said it would be mazik the Chassidus overall. So as a result, it fell apart. It would have been fascinating for Briskers to kind of become the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chabad yeshivas. The fourth thing, which maybe I shouldn't say, but I'll say it because it's kedai to understand the greatness of a person, even with great difficulties. The Rashab was a very, very, I mean, a great Talmud Chacham and a big tzaddik and very devoted to Chassidus, and he founded the yeshiva, suffered from depression. Depression was something that kind of got him down different times in his life, and he actually went to a very, very famous Jewish psychoanalyst called Sigmund Freud, and he was actually a patient of Sigmund Freud in Vienna, and Sigmund Freud gave him some various practical aids. He saw that the Rashab was not a regular person. He was Anshei Maila, but he told the Rashab that he had to stop taking the tzaras of other people so seriously. That was getting him down. And the Rashab said, I'm sorry, that I can't give up. What a Rebbe has to do is feel the pain of all the people that are suffering. But the reason why I say it's really to the Rashab's credit, because here you have a person who is really a great, great Gadol B'Torah. He was the leader of thousands and thousands of people. And yet he was willing, if he felt he needed the help to become a better, even a better Rebbe, he was willing to even go outside to an, even a non-religious makor, so to speak, to be able to get whatever he thought might have helped him. It is recorded, although I saw it in Chabad sources, so I can't bring a raya 100%, but I could believe it, that Freud, who of course was Jewish, Freud was very, very impressed with the Rebbe Rishapi. He had not seen such a refined and such a great personality, but Nebuch the Rishab did have to struggle with depression all of his life. They say, by the way, Yisrael Salanter was the same situation. He didn't go to Freud, but Yisrael Salanter also had a tendency towards what's called Mara Shechora. That goes back, that's a medieval term for depression. It goes back to the idea of the four fluids in the body that determine personality. It all goes back to Greek medicine, but the Rambam uses it a lot. So Mara Shechora means black bile. It was said that one of the liquids that the body secretes is a black, dark color, and it is said that that determines depression or simcha. So in rabbinic Hebrew, the old term, now they have modern terms, but the old term for depression was a person who suffered from Mara Shechora. Okay. But be it as it may, we're going back to the Tanya, and the particular part of the Tanya we're up to is the Kuntres Acharen, right, the final Kuntres, the final pamphlet. And these were essentially Rav Schneur Zalman's own notes. He did not even intend them for publication necessarily. But these were notes in his own Tanya to be Miyashev, different contradictions, like he may have said something, and it may be Shver from the Ari's writings or from the Zohar or whatever it is. So he wrote down Terutzim. Now, whether he intended, as it were, to be Mefarsim, we don't really know. Whether these were his kashas that he was answering or kashas people asked him, probably with a mixture of both, we don't know that either. But this was the Kuntres Acharen. The Kuntres Acharen was not published in the Alter Rebbe's lifetime, but when the Alter Rebbe died, so the sons of the Alter Rebbe put out, together with the Igeres HaTshuva and Igeres HaKodesh, the letters, they put out the Kuntres Acharen. So Memela, the Kuntres Acharen, really, when we go over the Kuntres Acharen, we're really going over the Tanya itself, because the Kuntres Acharen is simply tweaking things in the Tanya. So a lot of what I'm going to say, if you have good memory, real good memory, you know, you will think you have heard it before, which is true. My guess is most of us this will be considered to be come out new anyway, so it'll be okay. And the issue that we're discussing in the Kuntres Acharen, but really it's based on Perek Mem and Perek Mem Dalet, are the two Perekim of the Tanya that this is going back to, is the notion of what are called two types of Dechilu Urechimu. Again, Dechilu Urechimu is Aramaic for fear and love. Dechilu Urechimu. It's interesting. In Aramaic, Rechimu is not mercy, Rechimu is love. Although one can obviously see a connection between the two. Derachim Lei in Aramaic means he loves him. But again, obviously there's a connection there. And the Alter Rebbe says there are two types of Dechilu Urechimu. First of all, Legabe Dechilu, it's very interesting. Throughout the Tanya, I mean, there may be a reference here and there, but the Tanya never uses Yiras HaEinish as a category at all. He's assuming any Yid that believes in God already has Yiras HaEinish. It's like we don't even talk about Yiras HaEinish at all. And he doesn't even talk a lot about Yiras HaRomamus, which is awe and reverence, except insofar as that is what gives you love of Hashem. Now, here you understand the connection. Romamus, when I feel the awesome greatness of God, that awakens in my heart love. So really, the whole Tanya is about love. And when he says dechilu, fear, he doesn't mean, it's interesting, he doesn't mean onesh, and he doesn't even mean remimus. What he means is another type of fear, the fear of being separated from Hashem, whom you love so much. That's a totally different thing. That is not the classic dichotomy. Right? The classic dichotomy that we have all the way back from Rav Sajago is Yira has two types of Yira, right? Everyone knows this is a very basic idea. There is Yira that is fear, in which I better be good because there is Onesh, or if I do it for schar, that's just the other way around. But in other words, I'm afraid of the consequences. And then there is a higher level of ira, which is raimimus, not fear, but awe. I am so in awe of Hashem's infinite greatness and power. Now, the Alter Rebbe is going to use that as something that causes you to love Hashem. And the yira he then talks about is a yira that comes out of love. It doesn't come out of the awe itself. It comes out of the love. And that is, what is love? Love is the yearning to be connected. When you love someone, you want to be connected to them. So what is your greatest fear? That you'll do something that'll be marchik you from that which you love. So I have to say that the Alter Rebbe uses yira throughout the Tanya as really a subordinate aspect of love. It is the yira not to be separated from that which you love. So that's a third category. That's actually a third category. In fact, some want to say, I mean, the emes is, this is actually found in the Maral, this idea of yira. The yira that you're misyore, not to be meruchak from Hashem by Averos or whatever it is. And Svarim, so the Maral, who of course was the Alter Rebbe's great-great-grandfather, actually talks about that idea of yira along with the other types of yira, which the Tanya doesn't even really talk about that much. And some want to say that that is the nafkamina. Now we say in Rosh Chodesh benching, right, in the Shabbos Mevorachim, we ask Hashem for a chayim, sheyesh bahem yiras shamayim v'yiras chait. We ask Hashem, give us yiras shamayim and give us yiras chait. Now what's the difference between yiras shamayim and yiras chait? And if you think about it, it's even a funny use of the term. You know, yiras shamayim is what I feel towards God, whatever it's defined. Yiras chait would mean what I feel towards sin. Now, obviously, what I feel vis-a-vis sin is not the same thing as what I feel towards God. So the Mefarshim say, based on the Maral, that Yiras Shamayim is primarily Kailel, both Yiras HaOnesh and Yiras HaRamamas. Give me a sense of God's greatness. Yiras Chait says, that comes from love, and let my love of Hashem be so great that I am afraid of sins. I'm afraid of sins because sins are the thing that's going to be merachik me from Hashem. That's the Yiras Chait, right? The fear of being distant from God. And I have to say that the Balatanya's use of the term dechilu, as he defines it, is what these Mefarshim would say Yiras Chait actually is. I am misyore, not to be pageya the Abba. So that's dechilu rechima. So what do we know about dechilu rechima? We know the famous passage of the Zohar, that dechilu rechima are the trei gadfin. They are the two wings that bring your mitzvos up to Hashem. But, again, some of this we talked about last week again, but it's kedai to always review a little bit. Now, there are two ways you get dechilu urechimu. There is what is called dechilu urechimu tiviyim. Tiviyim means natural. And there is dechilu urechimu sichliyim, which is intellectual. Let's first go with Tiviyim. In fact, this is what they say. You know, just to remind you, if you remember the very cover page of the Tanya, which the Alter Rebbe wrote, in which Chelek Rishain of Lakutei Amorim is called Sefer Shel Beinonim, and the Bala Tanya says Miyusad Ala Pasuk. It is based on a pasuk, and the pasuk is Ki karev elecha hadavar me'ait. This is referring to the Torah. The Torah is very near to you. It's accessible to you. Bepicha, in your mouth. Uvilvavcha la'saisai, and in your heart. To do it. And he says, this sefer will explain how Hashem and the Torah is close to you. Biderech arucha uketzara. in the long way and in the short way. So it's a little bit of a curious expression. What is the derech arucha? What is the derech kitzara? There's no place in Tanya where the Rebbe labels a certain mahalech as kitzara or arucha. So there's really two pshatim, right? People have pshatim even on the cover page of the Tanya. There's really two pshatim of what does the Alter Rebbe mean by the phrase arucha and kitzara. One pshat actually learns that in the Tanya itself there's a long way and there's a short way, meaning two roads. The long way would be the process, which we'll explain a little more barichas, of dechilu urechimu sichliyim. The dechilu urechimu that comes from the seichel is a long, difficult, introspective process. But the short way, which can jumpstart you, again, I'll explain this more barichas, is the dechilu urechimu tiviyim. Again, and we'll talk about the difference there. Which means the derech arucha is the dechilu urechimu sichliyim, and the derech kitzara is the dechilu urechimu tiviim, because that kind of is available to everybody. That means Hashem put it into your nature already. You just have to get into what is already within you, as opposed to creating a new metzias. That's pshat number one, and we'll come back and explain what those derachim are. Others learn that the Alter Rebbe's kavana is totally different. He is referring to a famous medrash in Eicha. The medrash at the beginning of Eicha, which is about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, describes all of the things that we lost with the Churban of Yerushalayim. And one of the things that the medrash delighted in discussing was the intelligence, the brightness of the children of Yerushalayim. Right? Baruch Hashem, we have some of that today here too, but you know how the people that were killed, the children that were killed, were so bright. And as a result, the Medrash sometimes tells you funny stories about the smart or wisecracking things that the kids said. So one of the stories that the Medrash tells us is that somebody was walking and he needed to know how to get from point A to point B. So the kid said, "Do you want the long way that is short, or do you want the short way that is long?" The guy didn't understand what the kid was referring to. He said, "Just give me the short way, even if you say that it's long." So he gave him a short way, a way that was very short, as the bird flies. But in order to get there, he went through rocks and trees. It was very, very difficult to traverse. It was only like a few feet away, but it took like 3 hours. The long way would have been a much longer way, but it would have been faster. So after the guy gets stuck for a few hours going through the trees and the thorns, he says, "Now I understand that sometimes what looks like a short way can really be much longer, and what looks like a long way can actually be much shorter." It's like those people, right, when you're looking for a parking space, if you remember from the United States, here in Israel too. So, you don't want to walk two blocks to the mall or whatever it is. So you drive around and drive around and drive around looking, waiting for a parking space to materialize. So you might do it for 45 minutes when you could have parked two blocks away, and it would take 5 minutes to walk, right? So once again, long way, short way. So some want to be merames that the Rebbe is emphasizing, that I'm going to give that all of Avodas Hashem is a long way, meaning there's no shortcuts. It takes work, it takes yegiah, but ultimately it's much shorter than trying to look for shortcuts. Meaning, when you look for the shortcut, you're going to fail and fail and fail and fail over and over again, and you'll never get to your destination. So I'm giving you a way that seems to be long and laborious, but it's actually going to be shorter than the other way, simply because the other way is not even going to get you there. Right? There's no longer way than a way that doesn't even get you to where you have to go. So what I'm saying is there are two ways of learning this line, meaning is the Rebbe positing there is a derech arucha and a derech kitzara, or is the Rebbe saying everything I'm telling you is the derech arucha, but it's an arucha that is ultimately kitzara, and the Rebbe is merames to the Medrash Eicha that talks about sometimes the longer way is in fact the shorter way. But be it as it may, we have Dechilu Rechimu Sechliyim, Dechilu Rechimu Tivim. And again, by Dechilu, once again, we do not mean Yiras HaEinesh or Yiras HaRemimus per se. We mean the Yira that is a Teilada, that it comes from Ava, that is the Yira not to be Nisrachik. So, what is Dechilu Rechimu Tivim? So the Rebbe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into every single Jew, and he calls it a Mayrasha from our Avais, going back to the Avais, there is within our heart a natural love and reverence for God, even if we're not consciously aware of it. He doesn't mean we're naturally consciously aware of it. Very often we are not consciously aware of it, but it's there. And at various times in life, it will pop out. And that is the source of what later became known in Chassidus as the Pintalayid. But it comes, really comes from the Tanya. That the concept is, there is a the Chilu Rechimu Tivim, which is the Shairish of why, he says, even a Jew that is very far from God is willing often, to give his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does that come from? It comes from something inside of him that he didn't even know that he had. That's the Chilu Rechimu Tivim. But the Bava Tanya says, the Chilu Rechimu Tivim do not give value to your Aveda unless you bring it from its unrealized state into conscious realization. And therefore, even the Tevi'im, that's why it's a bit of a difficult vocabulary. Tevi'im does not mean you're simply acting on instinct. In order to bring your mitzvahs to a high place, you have to be misbainain in what it is that you have inside of you, and be might see it from kayach to payel. Now, the kayach to the payel can take two forms. It could take the form of literally bringing out your feelings, that you actually feel this love and fear, right? And that is called hiskalos libay, which is the highest level. Or there's a lower level that's called machshava taiva, in which even if it's not ma'ayrer my lave behiskalos libay, but it is b'mocha, in my mind I know that I should love God, I should fear God, I think about that. And the Alter Rebbe says that with practice, and these are madregas that are, you know, we're not even used to, with practice, and he calls this karev elecha, it's karev, it's easy, or at least it's close to you. With practice, you can bring it behiskalos libay. And that's a high level, even though you're focusing on tivim. But even if you don't bring it behiskalos libay, at least on the level of machshava taiva, to know this is what I want to feel, this is what I should feel, that when I do a mitzvah, I think about loving God and revering God and being misyare, not to be pirate. And the famous statement, machshava taiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzaref l'maisa. So everybody translates that statement to mean that God counts a good thought as if you did something. That if I didn't do a mitzvah but I wanted to, I get credit. The Alter Rebbe says, that's not what the words, this is really, that's 100% true observation. The word mitzaref means to combine. Machshava taiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzaref l'maisa doesn't really fit the common translation that Hashem counts a thought as if you did a deed. Rather, the implication is he is combining a thought to a deed. Meaning, beautiful meaning, that really, in order to propel your mitzvos to Shamayim, and we'll talk about that in more detail, you should have to have Dechilu Rechimu Behiskalos Alev. But what if I just have Machshava Taiva and I don't have Hiskalos Alev? So Hashem, in his rachamim, will take your desire to have Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem, and he will combine it with your Maisa, giving it the jet propulsion, so to speak, to be, right, the gadfin, to be maila it, to Shamayim, to the highest levels. That's an ingenious interpretation. Now, by the way, the other statement is also true, but it's from another Maimar Chazal. In other words, is there a, according to the Alter Rebbe, is there a concept that if you had a machshava to do a mitzvah and you didn't do it, Hashem gives you the reward of the mitzvah? There actually is, because there's another Maimar Chazal that says, Chashav Adam Lasais Mitzvah Venenas, Maila Alaf Hakasav Kilo Asa. That is a Maimar Chazal. Most people say that's the same thing as Machshava Taiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaref L'maisa. So besides the grammatical problem, you know, why did Chazal express the idea in two different ways? Although that's not such a kasha, you find that in a number of things. So according to the Alter Rebbe, these are two different ideas. Chashav Adam Maseis Mitzvah, which we're not even talking about, that's Taka, the principle that says, I wanted to do a mitzvah, I was prevented, the Eibishter gives me schar. But Machshava Taiva, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaref L'maisa, is the other Yisayit, that the Machshava Taiva, even without Hiskalus Halev, is Maila your mitzvah as the Gadfin, the wings of Dechilu or Rechimu. Now we're talking about Tivim here. Now, so that's a very important Yisayit, and he makes the point that both of those madregos are called lishma. Lishma, right, l'shem Hashem, lishma, is either, at the higher level, hisgalos halev, or machshava taiva. Now, what if you do a mitzvah without this conscious awareness? What if I do a mitzvah? Mitzvah sanashim ilumata, I do it because that's what I was taught. I do it because that was my habit. So in such a situation, where does the mitzvah go? You don't have the energizing force that propels it to Shamayim. It's only a mitzvah sanashim ulumaga. So here, the Alter Rebbe makes a chiluk. The mitzvah still goes somewhere, but it doesn't go as high. Again, I'll try to quantify that b'diyuk. But here's the important chiddush. The Alter Rebbe is mechalek between two types of lo lishma. Right, we have two types of lishma and two types of shelo lishma. Again, what are the two types of lishma? Again, we're only focusing right now on dechilu urechimu tivim. The highest level of lishma is when the dechilu urechimu, through your thinking and espaininess, is ma'ayrer the lev. That's called reusa deliba. And the lower level of lishma is when you have machshava taiva. Right, those are the two levels of lishma. In both cases, although one is a higher madrega, in both cases, the mitzvahs go up. Now, in low lishma, we also have two levels. The first level of low lishma is, I simply did not have conscious awareness. I simply did it as habit. And even though in my heart there is avas Hashem and yirshem, because that's to be in, but if I don't consciously actualize it, it doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything. So in such a case, that level of lo lishma, the mitzvah does ascend, but to a much lower level. We'll talk about which level that is. But then there's a second level of lo lishma. And this is where you do a mitzvah because of paniyais. Paniyais means ulterior motives. You do it, and these are not sinister necessarily. You do it for osher. You do it for kavod. You do it for gaiva. You do it so people should be impressed by how big a tzaddik you are. That's a lower level of lo lishma, and there the mitzvah goes nowhere at all. It just remains here. It does not go to Hashem. Now, you can understand that from Rav Chaim Volozhiner's standpoint, this was a little bit of a dangerous notion. Because if you just took what I said so far, a person could make the following argument. Listen, Nebuch, I'm not on a madrega where I feel Avas Hashem and Yerushalayim. I'm not even a madrega where I think about it. And I do mitzvahs because I'm a rabbi, I'm a magid shir, I have a good reputation, I have a good parnasa. But wait a second here. If you're telling me the mitzvos that I do on that level of lo lishma are absolutely worthless. They go nowhere at all. Unlike the first level of Lolishma, but this second level, the Alter Rebbe says they go nowhere. They're nothing. So, wait a second. Why should I do it? And indeed, you might even say that this contradicts the teaching of the Rambam, where the Rambam says that initially when you're machanach a person in mitzvos, you give them rewards, you give them candy, you give them bribes. But l'chaira, I do something for a bribe, it means nothing at all. So here the Alter Rebbe, and this is indeed one of the tainus, if you look at the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner very much disagrees with this. Rav Chaim Volozhiner brings the Gemara that says a person should be Isaac in Torah and Mitzvahs, even Shalol Lishma. Shemitok Shalol Lishma, Yavol Lishma. So how does the Balatanya deal with this? So the Balatanya does deal with that, and he says the following. He says, even when a person does Mitzvahs on the second level of Shalol Lishma, that's totally worthless. They are totally worthless. That's the Balatanya's position, not Rav Chaim Volozhiner. But they don't just vanish. They hang around here. And when you do tshuva, and you begin to serve Hashem on some level of Lishma, all of the mitzvos that you did shelo Lishma now become energized and lifted. Therefore, the Baal HaTanya says, since it's a davar pashut, every yid will do tshuva either in this Gilgal, this reincarnation, or b'Gilgal Acher, then it makes sense for you to do as many mitzvahs as you can do, even with improper motivation, because that builds up what you might call a dormant bank account that you will have access to if at every stage you become Lishma. Now, still, this is a surprising position. According to the Baal HaTanya, if I did mitzvahs or Torah learning for Aisher v'chavad, and then a person dies, he will not, the Baal HaTanya is saying, he will not get any sechar for those mitzvahs. His only option is he'll be sent back to earth if he didn't do tshuva in this Gilgal. And if when he does tshuva, then Baruch Hashem, l'mafreya, all of those mitzvahs now become gevaldik. But in terms of what is his state at that time, now this is the second level of Lolishma. The first level does achieve something, even before he does tshuva. So this is a point, this is a nekuda I want to point out, that Rav Chaim Volozhiner, based on the Gra, take very strong issue with, and they maintain that even mitzvah shel Lolishma have a kayach. But I'll tell you, even the Gra does learn that there's a third level of Lolishma. I mentioned two levels in the Baal HaTanya. One is mitzvah sanasha melumada, habit, which is, you know, the mitzvah goes somewhere, and the other is pniyais, you're doing it for ulterior motives. And there the Baal HaTanya says the mitzvah is worthless, but it's still kedai to do. Because that's the meaning, mitok shelo lishma, ba lishma, and then all of the mitzvahs, right? So that's why, yeah, it's worthless at the time, but it's still very kedai to do, because when you do tshuva, begilgul zeh, begilgul acher, everything goes on. Now, the Gra is chaylik in that. The Gra says, every mitzvah shelo lishma is kedai, you get schar for it, it'll be a lower level, of course you'll get schar. But the Gra does bring a third level of lo lishma, and that is lakanter. Lakanter is when I learn, if I learn for my kavod, all right, that's shelo lishma. But if I learn to put you down, to humiliate you, that, the Gra says, that becomes a maisa aveira, and that bichlal is worthless and even sinful. So even the Gra is maida that there is a certain bechina, because this is how he fanfers. It's really a taisus. On one hand, we say a person should always learn Torah shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. But then there's another Gemara that says, if you learn Torah shelo lishma, noach loy, shelo nivra, it would have been better that you would never be born. So it's a stira. So Tosfos Taka says that The first shalom lishma is l'shem osher v'kavod, not like the Balatanya. And the din that noach lo shalom nivra is l'kanter. L'kanter means I do it just to embarrass you. And that, the Gra Taka says, the Gra paskins like that taisus, that is already not worth it at all. Okay. So this is the Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim. Remember, I'm only talking about Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim, which some learn is the Derech Kitzara, where the Alter Rebbe claims that through his spineness, see, that's why it's a misnomer. The Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim needs the spineness as well to be mitziyat, either to the Machshava Teiva or higher level, Hiskalos Levi. Right? So even Tiviyim means there's a spineness. And the Alter Rebbe outlines the particular types of hispaininus that will open up the self-actualization of the Dechilu or Rechimu Tivim. Again, in the Kuntos Acharon, he reviews it, Bekitzer, to fend for some kashas. And let me just remind you of some of the meditations that are mechuber to the Dechilu or Rechimu Tivim. One is, he mentions, a pasuk in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, Nafshi ivisicha balayla. Now we translate that pasuk to mean, my soul, speaking to Hashem, my soul desires you in the nights of my galus, my loneliness. So the Baal HaTanya Kedarkei offers a different translation. Instead of saying, my soul desires you at night, in other words, soul is the subject of the sentence, he says it's the object of the sentence. The way you translate it is, my soul, comma, I desire you in the night. And my soul refers to Hashem, that is the source of my life. And that is, a person's greatest attachment is to their very life. In fact, the Baal HaTanya describes an interesting way of describing tiredness. What is tiredness? Tiredness is the pining of yourself to have your soul restored, your vitality. It's right. So when my soul is not fully with me, I pine for it, I yearn for it. So if a person is misbinding that the Eibishter is the source of all life, then he will feel love, which means the Tevi'im will come out. He will feel love for the Eibishter. Because Nafshi Ibisicha. Nafshi Ibisicha. The second meditation that he gives is from the Zohar, Kibra Diishtadel Liavuo Leime, like a son who loves his father and mother more than he loves himself, in which my love for Hashem is the love of a child for a parent. So it's a little different. It's not the love of my life, but it's the love I have for my parents. This is a meditation. A third meditation, he gives four meditations on this, a third meditation to be ma'ayrer, either b'hiskalas halev, or at least machshava taiva, to think about this, is rachmanas, because your godly soul is a chelik of God, whatever that means exactly. And when it is trapped in Averos, then the Shekhinah is in Golos. It's like the Melech is stuck in the Beis HaKiseh. And therefore you should have rachamim for Hashem. Rachamim for the Tsar of the Shekhinah. And when you have rachamim, rachamim is ma'orer love. It's interesting. We look at rachamim as coming from love. Since I love you, I have rachamim. But it can also work the other way. When I'm ma'orer rachamim, I then have love for that I have compassion for. And the fourth meditation is the pasuk in Mishlei, Kemayim haponim alponim, kein leiv ha'adam liadam, as water reflects the face that you show it, so the heart of man reflects that which you show it. Again, the pashtus is, I show you love, you feel love for me because you see the love I have for you. right? That's how it works in human relations. Because if we look in water, right? If I look, the mashal is, if I look at a pool of water, whatever face I show the water is the face that I see. I smile at the water, I get a smiling face. I frown at the water, I get a frowning face. The water gives back what I show it. So Shlomo HaMelech says, the heart of a human being is margish and gives back that which it is shown by others. I show you love, you will feel love for me. I show you disdain, you will feel disdain for me. By the way, this pasuk, I mean, this is such an amazingly true pasuk. I mean, if you say so, it's true. You know, all of the, without getting into politics, all of the divisiveness, maybe it's a simplification, but I think it's emes based on this pasuk. All of the divisiveness between religious and secular. I don't mean machlokas. Of course there'll be machlokas. There'll be disagreements. That's not the issue. But the hatred, the animosity, the antagonism, all of that would be diffused if we would be makayim, the pasuk. Kamayim aponim elponim, kein leif adam liyadam. When I go out and I call the chiloni, apikoris amalek, he'll look at me and say, idiot, parasite. But if I would be machshiv, the army, the police, I would appreciate what they do. They would appreciate what we do. Pashut. They would be makir tov as well. They would be margish if they would feel appreciated. So the whole strategy of demonizing the other side on both sides is not going to work because by definition, this is going to go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. It will never end because the more I demonize you, the more you will demonize me. So where are you going to end with that? Right, so the whole mahalich of kamayim upon him, we're not being makayim that. If we be makayim that, well, actually, we are makayim it, and we get the result. Kamayim upon him, kain leiv adam liyadam. Yeah, we're doing that exactly. You know, I look at somebody and say, you're garbage. Good. Look at me and say, you're garbage. Yeah, in a chenami. We actually are makayim the pasuk, but we're makayim it in ways that are very, very negative. Right, so I don't think stopping traffic and lying down. Okay, whatever. I don't want to get into the specifics, but you know that's not going to change anybody to look at the Torah world in a more positive way. Yeah.
And what can we do when we're interacting with people who feel me, when we're also chayav to correct them when they're committing a error?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that the chayav of correcting people depends on how effective it would be. Meaning, very, very often you don't give tokacha. In fact, already in the time of the Mishnah, somebody asked Rabbi Akiva, how come nobody knows how to accept tokacha today? Rabbi Akiva answered, because nobody knows how to give tokacha today. So that's one thing you have to know. But the other thing is, that even in the giving of tokacha, there are ways and there are ways. Meaning to say, if somebody feels you genuinely care about them, they will be open even to a certain amount of criticism. But if somebody feels you're just denigrating them, then they're not going to be open. So you have to be a great, great lover of the person before you're able to give tokacha. And that's why the Torah says, indeed, hocheach tochiach, rebuke es amisecha, your friend. Very much it. When he's your friend, you really care about him, then your tokacha will be makubo. If he's your enemy, he's not the guy you should be giving tokacha to. So this is an important idea. I mean, I'll give you a mashal. A few years ago, when there was a huge demonstration against, when they first started talking about drafting yeshiva bachurim to the army, right? So there was a huge demonstration, and Baruch Hashem was peaceful. It was actually... no violence, you know, so it was very good. But I think to myself, it was like 800,000 people. Well, they say 800,000 people, you know, you never know. Crowd estimates are always exaggerated, but really quite a lot of people. And, you know, there were gedolim there. But I think to myself, you know, maybe it's not my place to think about this, but what if at the end of the demonstration, which was why we need people learning and we need Torah, and without Torah, Klal Yisrael cannot survive, all of which is 100% emes, and to take people away from Torah is a sakana to the security of the state, because Hashem's shemira of Eretz Yisrael is totally on Torah. All of this is 100% emes.
But what if at the end of this they would have said a tefillah for the soldiers in the army who are also doing their chelik? Well, I can't say I know. Obviously, I don't know. But I have a feeling, an instinct, a guess, maybe it's just a guess, that if 800,000 from B'nai Torah would have said a prayer for the army, Mashiach would have come exactly that minute. Because that is achdus, that's building, that's appreciating, that's hakaras hatov, and that would have changed the whole view of the secular to the religious world, which would also understand what the other side is doing, and we're not really the other side, we're all one side, really. You know? So the problem is that the whole polemical style here is each side, I don't mean Dafka, the Torah side, each side, you know, just insults the other side. Kamayim upon him upon it. But coming back to the Tanya's point is that if it's true that when I'm margish the love of a human being for me, my heart is open to love them, then when you're margish the love that Hashem has for you, the chaste Hashem, that's ma'orer in your heart, a love for Hashem. So bekitzur, therefore, what we have is the following. We're discussing the chilu urechimu tivim. This is the natural love that is implanted in every single Jew's heart, and that is a mayrasha from the avais. And that is the derech kitzara, that all I need to do is awaken that love and be motzi it from its potentiality into its actualization. The highest level of actualization is hiskalos libay, that I literally feel this love for God and the fear of separating myself from his love. But then there's a fallback position. Even if I don't merit hiskalos libay, reusa de libay, same thing, reusa de libay, the desire of the heart, I can still have machshava taiva, in which I think about this. And that too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarev l'maisa. And the way that you come to that love is the Alter Rebbe gives four suggestions. One is nafshi v'sicha. Think about Hashem as the source of your life. Baradi yishtadel. Hashem as Abba v'ima. And then rachmanus for the tsar of the Shekhinah. And finally, kamayim hapanim el panim. Right? These are four exercises, you might say, that you can think about that will allow you to be ma'orer the dechilu urechimu tivim. Now, when you do a mitzvah, mitzvah sanasha melumada, that's shalol l'shma, it does not go li'ela, it goes up, but it doesn't go to the highest place. Again, I'll have to quantify that. And then the Alter Rebbe said, a shalol l'shma, which are p'niyais, p'niyais means ulterior motives, that goes nowhere at all. It just remains in Eilam Hazeh. There is no Ruchniyastika Aliyah Bichlal. But still we say, this is very, very important, still we say, a person should do Torah and mitzvahs even on that level, because it's batuach that he will do tshuva in this Gilgal or b'Gilgal Acher. And then what will happen is, lemafreya, this is a tremendous thing, lemafreya, all of those mitzvahs will go up to Shemayim and create godliness and kiddush. You want to say?
Is there such a thing as doing a mitzvah with pnios, but not being conscious of it?
Well, the Bali Musar certainly say there is. There's all sorts of unconscious things that are going on. But I would say, the Tanya doesn't explicitly address it, but I would say that if you are consciously thinking that I want to love Hashem, I want to have Yiras Hashem, you would qualify for the Machshava Tova, even though it's not at 100% level. But you actually consciously think about that. Again, so you see from the Tanya, one thing you see from the Tanya Beferish, and here once again, the Nefesh HaChayim might be Chaylik, how important conscious thinking about your mitzvos is. So the Nefesh HaChayim emphasized the importance of the Maisa. The Alter Rebbe, who also talks about the importance of the Maisa, is emphasizing this idea of mindfulness, of machshava. The machshava optimally should be ma'ayre, the feelings. That's Re'usa Deliba or Iskalus Leif. But even if not, you have what is called Machshava Taiva. Yeah.
Even though the Nefesh HaChayim has an issue with the Baal HaTanya's approach of always having intention, it seems like the third qualification, third idea that they bring up, that if you only learn to humiliate somebody, there's no way
you can't salvage that. Yeah.
It seems like that is actually, in a way, stricter than the Baal HaTanya.
Because he doesn't give you the option of converting it and elevating
it. Does anybody address that?
That's a good kasha. On the other hand, I would say the following. I would say, well, wait a second. There is a Gemara that says, when you do tshuva out of love, even your averos become mitzvah. So I would think, if an avera can become a mitzvah, then maybe kal v'chomer. I mean, this is not worse than an avera. This is an avera, right? This learning shalom.
Is the Nefesh HaChayim also written for as like a personal guide, the same way Baal HaTanya?
Very much so. I mean, why did Rav Chaim V'Lashner? We have to remember, Rav Chaim V'Lashner was mamish a gadol ador. He was a gadol in a generation of many gadolim. Remember, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was in that door. It was right after the Gra. And many felt, I mean, it's not for us to rank the Gedolim, but of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Nesivos, Katzais, all of these people, Chaim V'Lashner was considered to be maybe, perhaps, the greatest of all of those Gedolim. He had Chidushim on all of Shas, he had Shelas Uchuvas from all over the world, and yet, when he was on his deathbed, none of it was published in his lifetime, the one tzava he gave his son is, be sure to publish Nefesh HaChayim, or the Ksavim, which were the son named the Nefesh HaChayim. Now you might think, I mean, Nefesh HaChayim is more important than Rav Chaim's Svarim on Shas and Poskim and Shelas Teshuvas. Like, why would he say the Nefesh HaChayim is the one sefer you have to publish? The answer is he really saw this as a tzorich of the door. Chassidus was spreading very rapidly. And I've already said many times that the differences of Titania and Nefesh HaChayim are not as great as many people think. And in fact, I mentioned the Babbage Rebbe actually liked Nefesh HaChayim. Like Ad Kedei Kach, I mean he had a shita that Rav Chaim V'Lashner was influenced by the Tanya to be chaylik on the Gra. Okay, that's the Rebbe's interpretation. But the bottom line that Nefesh HaChayim and Tanya are svarim that fit very nicely together, that I think is I could be makabel, even if I'm not going to be makabel that he followed the Tanya instead of the Gra. But the problem Rav Chaim faced was that even though, let's say, Tanya and Nefesh HaChayim work together, because the Tanya also emphasizes Maisa, but you can understand, just like the game telephone, right? You ever play telephone? I tell you a message and it goes down. By the time it gets to the 10th person,
broken telephone.
Right, the message is totally different. You can understand that the ideas of Tanya, as they get circulated in the world, can get distorted, and there could be such an emphasis on machshava, machshava, kavana, dechila, rechimu. So Rav Chaim wrote Nefesh HaChayim bedafka to rein in the tendencies to emphasize the kavana. But in reality, what can I tell you? Nefesh HaChayim talks about the chashivas of kavana, and the Tanya talks about the chashivas of Maisa. So really, they both talk about the chashivas of each thing.
By the Babbage Rebbe reading it, did you mean the Baal HaTanya or the Babbage Rebbe after?
No. The Baal HaTanya was not aware of the Nefesh HaChayim, as far as I know. I meant the last Babbage Rebbe. Rav Nachum Mendel was fond of Nefesh HaChayim. And in Chabad, that's very unusual, because Chabad, Derech Klal, I mean, I don't mean the Rebbe, but the Hasidim, they don't read anything other than Chabad Svarim. I mean, that's an old Taina people have. So for the Rebbe to start quoting Nefesh HaChayim, people thought, right, did the Rebbe become an Apikoreh? What happened to the Rebbe here? Whatever it would be. Somebody said, is the Rebbe saying we should learn Nefesh HaChayim? So he said, not such a bad idea. Which again, for Chabad, that's very... I mean, it's a funny thing. People learn Tanya who are not in Chabad, like we're an example, but Chabad does not learn Kamad any safer, even a Hasidic safer, outside of Chabad. So for the Rebbe to endorse Nefesh HaChayim was a very revolutionary, radical type of step. Yeah.
Rebbe said in the first one, it says Nashi Sifa.
Yeah.
This is It says my soul refers to God who's associated.
Yes, nafshi, you Hashem that are my nefesh, evi sicha. You are my soul. You are my source of my life. Evi sicha. You want to be connected to you. So instead of translating it, my soul desires you. Nafshi, you Hashem are my nefesh, evi sicha. I want to be connected to you. You are my life. More, I love my life. I love you. I love you. I want to be connected to you. When I'm not connected to you, I'm not connected to my life. Right? But these are meditations that are ma'orer, the way the Baal HaTanya has it, the dechilu urechimu tivim. Tivim. Now, let me just say a few words about the other type, because the question becomes, what exactly is the other type of dechilu urechimu? Right? We have dechilu urechimu tivim, and then we have dechilu urechimu sichliim. Now, you see, it's complicated, because even tivim had a great deal of hisbainus. Okay, it's very important to remember, tivim does not mean you are behaving as a matter of instinct. Fakir to Baal HaTanya says, if you're just doing instinct without thinking about it, that doesn't count. That's shalol lishma. That's mitzvah sanashem ilumada. So even the tivim is a hisayrus mitzad b'secha, but what that's doing is that's unpacking what is already inside of you. The chiddush of dechilu urechimu sichliim is through the kayach of divine secha. Not only do you unlock what Hashem put into you, but you actually create the yesh me'ayin, because the seichel is the chelak elokam mimal, and therefore you have a certain kayach of a yesh me'ayin. You create a yesh me'ayin love, which is described, that type of love is described as much more passionate. That is rishvei esh, like sparks of fire. Now, what exactly do you think about on that love? So here, the Baal HaTanya seems to say that this is not nafshi v'sicha, and this is not broad yishtadol, and this is not rachamim, and this is not kamayim apanim opanim, but rather, this is hisbainanus from the yiras haremimus of the godless habayre. This is a different type of love. I love Hashem because of his perfection. Not because he gave me life. Not because he's my parent. Not because I feel his love. It's kind of a love that comes from the contemplation of the grandeur of Hashem, which is very makusher to Yiras HaRaymimus. And that is called Sichliim. And once again, that comes in two flavors. Ideally, your Mailed Hisgalus Libai, Reusa Deliba. If not, you have machshava tayva. Now, the question becomes, though, if you read the Tanya carefully, and so it gets complicated, it turns out that there's kimat no spiritual difference in the two levels, meaning to say, whether it's the chilu rechimu sichliim, or whether it's the chilu rechimu tivim, if you have his galos libai, it goes to the highest level. And if you don't, and if you only have machshava teva, it goes to a lower level, but goes to the same level in both cases. So why do you need, why is there any type of answer? Why can't I just rely on my dechilu urechimu tivim? Why do I need to push at all the sichliim? Meaning, what do I need the sichliim for if the tivim will give me the godfin, the trei godfin, that will lift up? So here the Alter Rebbe gives a very brief teretz. He's not really marich in it so much. He says two things. He says that a person has a chiyuv in life to be mispainain on the godless habayre. And therefore you need to use your mind to be mispainain about the greatness of Hashem. And when that affects your emotion, that turns into rishvei esh, which is much more passionate. So ein achinami, the sechar might be the same for either one. But there's a chelik of avodah where you need to do both. You need to do both. Now, let me now quantify a little bit something.
How can you really know Hashem? Because the Rambam says, you know Hashem, he does not have, by negative. If you hisbonim on Hashem, your hisbonim is limited because you don't really, you can only say, you have to clarify to say, I'm disponing, but my disponing is limited because you cannot.
No, in a chinami, you know your limit, but still you're misponing in terms of the greatness. You look at the universe, you look at the structure of the universe, you look at the galaxies, you look at all the amazing things, or like Rav Miller would say, you look at an apple, a banana, you look at all of the little things and big things, and that's ma'irer a tremendous yira. Yira and Abba Hashem. Now, the Alter Rebbe says, he does say, he brings Makairis for this, that Dechilu Rechimu Sichliyim is like gold, and Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim are Kesef, and therefore Kamailis Azov Ala Kesef. It's a much higher level. But then he makes the other argument that Tiviyim, it's a very complicated thing. He says each one, and this is going to be an abstract statement, it's not going to have a clear definition, each one is a certain Mila, because here's the thing. On one level, what God creates is always going to be more powerful than what we create. So if when I access my Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim, I am accessing what Hashem put into me, that could actually be deeper and stronger than whatever it is I create myself. So the Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim, although it's Kesef, could actually be deeper and more passionate because it comes from what the Eibishter gave me. On the other hand, the maila of the chilu rechimu sichliyim is it's what you created, and kishem that Chazal say, Adam reitza b'kav shalai, yaiser mitisha kavim shel chaverei. What does that mean? A person gets more pleasure in a small measure of grain that he planted, more than 9 measures he gets from somebody else. Right? In a sense, what I create myself, even though it's not going to be as good, so to speak, as what Hashem put into me, has a certain kayach that brings a person upwards. So you need both types of mailas. But again, where the Baal HaTanya gets very confusing is, both of them involve the intellect. This is why it's called Chabad Chassidus. The Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim is also his spinerness, right? As well as the Dechilu Rechimu Sichliyim. So now, let me just mention the following idea. He does make the following. Now here I have to, let me just introduce the idea again. We've gone over this throughout the year, we've gone over a number of times, but let me just remind you of this. In Kabbalah, we talk about 4 olamos, 4 worlds. The highest world, which is the first world in which God emanates his presence, is the world of Atzilus. The world of emanation. And then the worlds get progressively more concretized, more physical. There are more blockings, so to speak. Then you have the world of Bria, creation. And then the world of Yetzira. And then this world, which is the world of Asiya. So this is abbreviated Avya. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Each of these worlds, Hashem's or divine light, the Or Ein Sof, goes through 10 spheros. Right? Chachma, Bina, Das, or Keser, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, Yisod, Malchus. And then the Malchus, the lowest sphera of the higher world, becomes the highest sphera of the next world. So Malchus of Atzilus becomes Keser of Bria. The Malchus and Keser, similar word, right? Kingship and crown. Right? So every world has the 10 spheres. Now, there are 3 correlations you need to keep in mind. On one hand, we have 4 worlds. Each world has the manifestation of the Or Ein Sof going through the spheres. The 4 worlds are keneged the Shem Havaya. Atzilus is mechuvin keneged Yud. Bria keneged the first Hay. Yetzira keneged the Vav. And Asiya keneged the Hay. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right, so we have four worlds, four letters of the Shem Havaya. But there's a third correlation you have to keep in mind. And this is a little complicated. Although each world has its own 10 spheres, but the spheres are existing within a larger configuration of spheres. And the way it works is this. The world of Atsilus is the world of Chachma. Although it has 10 spheres, it has Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, but they are all subsumed under the sphere of Chachma. The world of Bria is Bina. The world of Yetzira are the six spheres, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod. And the world of Asiya is Malchus. So, when you look at the spheres, they're like two different things you have to look at. Every single world has the 10 spheres. But the 10 spheres of Atsilus are all under Chachma. The 10 spheres of Bria are all under Bina. The 10 spheres of Yetzira are all under the six spheres. These are called the Midas. Remember, Chachma and Bina are called the Mochin, the brains of God. The six spheres are called the emotions, the midos, the manifestation, and Malchus, which is the last sphere, is makabel all of these manifestations and translates them into maisa. So the Olam HaAsiya is Malchus. So the 10 spheres of Asiya are 10 spheres within Malchus. Okay? In fact, it's very meduyak. Why? Let's go back to the Shem HaMafayrish. So it turns out, therefore, if the Yud of the Yud Kei Vav Kei is Keneged the world of Atsilus, and that's Keneged Chachma. Because what is Chachma? Chachma is the initial spark of idea that a person has or God has. Now, again, what Kabbalah is doing, again, I know that I'm saying things that I don't fully understand, so if you don't fully understand, you're in good company. But Chachma, we're really analyzing God's process by looking at how we think things out, because we are B'Tselem Elokim. Chachma is when you have the initial idea, I want to build a house. Bina is when you think it out, you develop that idea into rooms, into size. So that's Chachma. Chachma is the initial insight. Bina is the fleshing out of the detail. The Vav Spheros are the various behaviors that get it done. Chesed, Gevura, right? I got to order something. I got to cut the order, you know, whatever it is, right? That's called Midos, right? Midos are the various decisions that are made. And then Malchus is the Asiya itself. So, Chachma is mechuvin to the letter Yud, because Yud is just a point. Bina is the Hay, because the Hay is an expansion and development. Vav are the six spheres of emotion called Midos. And the final Hay is said to be that which is Makabel, because the Hay is open, it's Makabel from the Vav. Right? So you need to keep, even if we don't fully understand the ramifications, you need to keep the three correlations in mind. Again, the three correlations, four worlds, four letters of the Shem Havaya, and they in turn match up with Chachma, Bina, Midas, which are the six spheres, and Malchus, which is receiving all of these things. And therefore, even though every world does have the 10 spheres, but in Atsilus, they are the 10 spheres within Chochmah. In Bria, they are the 10 spheres of Bina. In Yetzira, they are the 10 spheres of the Zeir Anpin, the small face, which is the Ari's name for the six spheres. And in Asiya, they are the 10 spheres of Malchus. So based on this, the Balatanya brings that when you do mitzvahs out of dechilu urechimu sichliyin, and I think this is true whether it's machshava taiva or iskala slave, but you created it through seichel, your mitzvahs go up to the world of bria. Reason? Because bria is mechuvin keneged bina, and you use the kayach of bina to create that love and fear. Therefore, mitzvahs that are done through dechilu urechimu sichliyim, they spiritually connect to God at the level of bria. We'll see, atzilus not, but at bria. Masha enken, when you do your mitzvahs through dechilu urechimu tiviyim, since what you've done is you've unlocked the emotions that God has planted within you, it only reaches the world of Yetzira, and it does not reach the world of Bria, because Yetzira is the world of emotion. So there is a chiluk there, in which Dechilu Rechimu Sichliyim go up to the Olam HaBria, Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim go up to the Olam HaYetzira, but that's only true if the Dechilu Rechimu Tiviyim either had Re'usa Deliber Machshava Teva. If you didn't do it at all, as I say, then it doesn't go up there. Now, after the Baal HaTanya is Marich in this, he then says, never mind, because he then says the following. He then says, and that's why I have a lot of steerers here. I think I may call somebody from Chabad to get some clarity on this. And that is, he then says that because of the principle Machshava Teva Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaref L'maisa, he will take that which should have been only in the world of Yetzira, and he'll bring it up to Bria. So, if that's the case, then it turns out there actually is no difference between the mitzvos that are done b'dechilu rechimu tiviyim and the mitzvos that are done b'dechilu rechimu sichliyim. The sichliyim naturally go to Yetzira, go to Bria. The tiviyim naturally go to Yetzira, but then it goes up anyway to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaref L'maisa. So I don't know, because at various points in the Kudros Acharon the Rebbe restates the idea, oh, this goes to Bria, this goes to Yetzira. There are other parts in the Tanya in which he says, oh, but Hashem is going to bring it up to Bria anyway. Okay, now one final point. Again, we'll come back to this, because this is a very, very important part of the Kudros Acharon and part of the Tanya. And that is, what about Atzilus? Does anybody ever go up to Atzilus? What happens there? Now, they do tell the story. They tell the story of Chaim Sanzer was once giving a drasha, and he started coughing. He was coughing, had a tremendous cough, and his son brought him tea. So Rav Chaim was very angry because he was in the middle. He says, in Atzilus we don't drink tea. So the son said, in Atzilus we don't cough either. So whatever. So sometimes tzaddikim may feel they're in Atzilus, who knows. But the Alter Rebbe says there is even a higher madrega. There's the chilu rechimu tiviyim, b'hiskalas libay, there's the chilu rechimu sichliyim, b'hiskalas libay. These are high, high madregas. But there's a madrega even beyond that. And that is called being a merkava l'shechina, a chariot for God. We describe the Avais as Hein Hein HaMerkava. Because here is the point. When you love God, even if you love God at the highest level, your emotions are yearning for God, there is still a sense that there's you and there's Him. I love God. But it's me, like two people. But there is a certain madrega that's called Bitul Hayesh, Bitul HaMetzias, in which you literally do not regard yourself as anything but a kli for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a madrega that even goes beyond Dechilu Rechimu Sichliyim. That is a beetle legomery of your Metzius. That was only, in fact, that may not be the Madrigal. He doesn't clearly say it. That may not be Shaykh for a Beinoni. Because the Beinoni still has that Ra in him, and the Ra by definition means there's some ego, no matter how much I could submerge it. So it could be that this is not Shaykh at all to say for Shal Beinonim. But the Alter Rebbe mentions that a person that is mamish mevatel his mitzvahs, like the Avais, his mitzvahs go all the way to the Eilam of Atzilus, because in Atzilus there is not yet the, again, it's hard to understand, the in Atzilus the differentiation between the Or of Hashem, you don't yet have all the different spheres, they're not so clearly differentiated, they're together, there's no sense of individuality, as it were, in the world of Atzilus. So in Atzilus, he says, that is for the Bitul Hayesh, perhaps that's the same as the Tzaddik. He does mention that there are Itim Mizumanais, there are designated times, an Ace Ratzai, where a person might reach the Eilam HaAtzilus. He says, Befrat during Shmona Esrei, and especially in the part of Shmona Esrei that you're Mishtachaveh, you're mevatel yourself to Hashem. So he says it's shayach even for a Beinoni, shayach for those moments to reach the world of Atzilus. Yeah.
Is Adam Kadmon significant in these parables that the Rebbe is speaking about?
Well, you know, it's interesting that the Tanya does not mention Adam Kadmon. Adam Kadmon, of course, is above even the world of Atzilus. But Adam Kadmon, the spheres don't yet exist. That's considered to be mamish, the same as the Or Ein Sof in the sense. So,
he really does not.
I mean, he mentions maybe very, very briefly, but he does not connect the Madregas of Lishma to the Madrega of Adam Kadmon itself. Okay, so this is the Tanya's very complicated hierarchy. About two types of lishma, two types of lo lishma, two types of dechilu rechimu, and then a third level of atzilus, which is called a bitul hayesh, and then the distinction between beria and yetzira that he then seems to say, never mind, because he says Hashem will bring up the yetzira to the beria anyway. So I don't know. The problem is in various parts of Tanya. He goes over the difference between Bria and Yetzira. And in other parts of Tanya, he says that Hashem will bring the Yetzira up to the Bria. Now, the truth is, Mitzidena, we don't even understand the difference. What is the difference if my mitzvah goes to Yetzira, my mitzvah goes to Bria? What does that mean on a practical level? All we can say with the poverty of our understanding of these, right, we don't, is that the higher the level you link up with Hashem, then the more Or of the Ein Sof your neshama is absorbing. It's a more intense Or, it is a greater Or, it is a deeper Or. So the dveikus to Hashem will be greater if it attaches at the higher level. So although Yetzira is very high, Bri is even higher. So those would be the nafkaminas, and that's the trei gadfin. How high will the wings lift up your mitzvah? Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good week.